Well, James, I'd like to start with us talking about this upcoming mission that SpaceX is planning for, well, for next week, barring another delay. How does this Falcon 9 rocket and Dragon capsule differ from the NASA spacecraft that we're accustomed to seeing out at the Cape?
The vehicles themselves, just looking at them, are not actually tremendously different from a lot of other rockets that you see launch satellites into orbit all the time. A lot of rockets like the Atlas V or Delta IV that United Launch Alliance flies from the Cape. So, of course, it's very different from the shuttle. You have a small capsule on top of a rocket as opposed to this giant space truck attached on the side of a huge external tank and solid rocket boosters, not nearly as powerful as the shuttle. But that is, in fact, one of the reasons this mission is so significant is because while SpaceX is starting off with these cargo delivery missions, there's potential that this Dragon capsule could one day be carrying astronauts to the space station.
And the capsule, the Dragon capsule, is designed for, even though they will be carrying only cargo this time and for some of the demonstration flights, it's designed to eventually carry astronauts.
That's right, up to 7 astronauts. It's actually one of 4 different spacecraft that are currently under development with the help of NASA funding to potentially fly astronauts. 3 of those are capsules similar to the Dragon, one built by Boeing, another by Blue Origin, a company backed by Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon.com. And then there's a 4th vehicle called Dream Chaser that is winged and looks a lot more like a shuttle, albeit a very tiny shuttle that would fly also on top of a rocket, just like these capsules do.
And although this particular SpaceX launch has been delayed several times, there's a lot of hope for its success. And I think hope that if this mission succeeds, it's evidence that the private space ventures do indeed hold a promising future for the Space Coast and for the space industry.
There's a lot of hope and promise that SpaceX represents as a company that is relatively new at this, that is run by a wealthy entrepreneur, Elon Musk, who's had tremendous success in the internet world and is now appears to be succeeding, doing some impressive things in spaceflight. So they hope SpaceX to be able to significantly reduce the cost of launching goods or people up into space. That's obviously one of the what makes spaceflight so challenging is just the cost of getting something up there. So if they are successful with their own advances in technology and smart business operations that Musk is helping to transfer from his Silicon Valley roots, then it's possible that many more things could be launched into space than we currently anticipate. That could bring more launches to Florida, could bring back a lot of launches of commercial satellites, many of which have moved overseas to launch on foreign-provided rockets that are lower cost. So there's a lot of hope that by reducing costs that Musk will enable more things to launch more affordably and bring more launches back to the U.S.
And as you point out, SpaceX is owned by PayPal founder Elon Musk. Another private space enterprise, Blue Origin, is owned by Amazon.com's Jeff Bezos. And several of the other new private space firms have their roots in the computer industry. I'm interested in how you see the Silicon Valley mindset translating to the Space Coast, because, many of the major players do come from that Silicon Valley culture.
They certainly are. I mean, just to state the obvious, that's where these guys came from, and so that's the world that they know. And
how does that differ from the traditional NASA mindset that we're familiar with in the Space Coast?
Just in that NASA has traditionally relied on certain well-known, established contractors. In many cases, are sort of the giants of the aerospace world that everyone knows so well: Boeing, Lockheed. Companies like that. So again, with the shuttle program flying over a 30-year period, there was sort of a group of established contractors that provided most of the critical systems over that period of time. And so now we're just seeing this new group of companies that didn't really start because NASA asked them to do something. They were companies that where their founders had a vision for spaceflight and decided to get started using a lot of their own money. And now NASA's coming around to seeing that, they could be helpful.
You know, what many of the people on the Space Coast are wondering is, How much of this new space industry activity is actually going to take place here on Florida's Atlantic coast, and how much of the activity and the employment will stay in California or perhaps set up operations in Texas or Virginia or elsewhere?
Well, you know, that's an open question, but certainly everything the state and local officials are doing and NASA to some extent is, you know, trying to set up Kennedy Space Center in the Cape as a better place for commercial companies of all kinds, not just SpaceX, including companies that will just, say, fly suborbital flights, all types of different missions, but a more open, friendly place to those types of operations, which, you know, traditionally now have just been limited to government missions like NASA's satellites or Defense Department satellites. So there's a lot of work being done right now to partner with these companies to potentially house them in former shuttle facilities that could be modified for new users. There's the launches of astronauts and certainly these cargo flights like what we're about to see are going to happen from the Cape. So, you know, the companies realize that there are benefits to having centralizing as much as they can of their operations close to the launch site. And, you know, so far there's been, you know, one significant announcement where last fall Boeing announced that it did plan to assemble the capsule it's developing, the CST-100 it's called, in a former shuttle hangar. And that could bring, they estimated, 550 jobs by sort of the 2016 timeframe. So, you know, that was a first, and, you know, we're told to expect more similar types of announcements. It'll take time for those jobs to actually materialize, and they depend to some extent on, you know, which companies actually win the contracts to fly these astronauts moving forward. But there's a lot of work being done right now to try and encourage these companies to do, just as you said, to come here and actually build things, do research and development, whereas this has traditionally just been a place things are launched. Local officials involved in this are trying to stress diversification as their goal. They don't just want to launch things. They want to build them, test them, do research and development, that sort of stuff.
Still, though, right now, a lot of the research and development and administrative work is not being done on the Space Coast. Do you see that changing as the new space program matures? Will more companies move out of their move their operations closer to the launch facilities at the Cape? Or will the space business just become more decentralized?
You know, there is competition, and some of these commercial providers have been surprised at the level of resistance they've seen even in, you know, among Florida elected officials and suggesting that they could go elsewhere. For example, Orbital Sciences, which is the other company in addition to SpaceX that NASA has contracted with to deliver cargo to the space station, they're going to launch from Virginia. You know, clearly there are other places that companies can go, and when you look at the suborbital flyers like a Virgin Galactic, they're based out in New Mexico. So, there's hope that as they succeed and grow, that flights could sort of move over to Florida and KSC. But right now, they're happening somewhere else. So, you know, there is a need to be competitive.
And of course, as you know, you've done a lot of reporting on this, James, at least several thousand workers directly lost their jobs when the shuttle program came to an end. And many had hoped that private space companies would eventually fill that void. Is that happening now? Using SpaceX as an example, since it's the first company to actually get a mission off the ground, how many Space Coast residents and former NASA workers or others were hired for this particular mission that's upcoming?
Probably very few. I mean, SpaceX has something like 1,400 employees. They've grown tremendously in the last 4 years or so, but only about 70 of them work here at the Cape so far. I mean, and there's hope that as they start launching much more frequently, that'll result in hiring more people. But you can't just look to a SpaceX to suddenly swoop in and hire all the people who've lost jobs. On the other hand, the reality is it shows that they're doing things in a leaner way. They're able to do things cheaper and in part because they don't require the army of people that something like the shuttle required. So it's kind of this balance between the hope that these companies, by being able to do more and do things more affordably, will bring more activity to the area. But no one is going to hire probably a huge number of the laid-off workers and make up for that huge loss we've seen just recently.
You know, James, your reporting in Florida Today really paints quite a different picture of what the Space Coast is like now than what many people around the country believe, I think. Certainly, there are many former NASA workers still suffering at the end of the shuttle program. That's very real, and we don't mean to minimize their challenges at all. But it's by no means all doom and gloom on the Space Coast. You point out that there is already plenty of activity going on and much more likely on the way.
You know, it just doesn't get as much attention, but just, you know, since the last shuttle mission last July, we've seen NASA launch probes to the moon, to Jupiter, to Mars. There's going to be a rover that lands on Mars in August. There'll be, you know, a huge buzz about that when it happens. So there's a lot of things launching from here. Just for the moment, there's a pause in launches of people, and that's the thing that many people care most about. But there is the potential that this new direction holds to spur a lot of new activity and really push the Space Coast into a better place than it historically has been. If the reality is, for all the benefits that the shuttle program and Apollo before provided, the area was entirely reliant on a single massive government program. And when it ended, it meant boom and bust, you know, for the area. We've seen this happen before after the Apollo program. So, you know, they're trying to move again to a more diverse industry, where it's not just a single big government program that hires everybody, but commercially driven, market-driven group of companies that are trying to diversify the space economy to do more than just launching vehicles, but also science research. And, you know, that's something that I think there's a real opportunity to build upon, to identify and brand the Space Coast as more of a center for science and research as opposed to just the rockets that we see blasting off from time to time.
So you're saying that with the private space companies coming on board, this could be the start of an exciting new era along the space course, or things could fall flat. Well, I'm interested in what you see as some of the outstanding challenges facing these new upstart private companies coming in.
Probably the main challenge is that it's a very difficult business, and, you know, even Elon Musk, who's considered a very confident or somewhat brash figure, repeatedly says how tricky this business is. Just getting something to dock at the space station, something we might have considered fairly routine after seeing the shuttle do it over and over and over again, is really incredibly difficult. You got two spacecraft moving at 17,000 plus miles an hour, and, you know, just have to have pinpoint accuracy and everything, not to mention just the risk and power of a rocket, you know, blasting off to get something into orbit. So the main challenge for SpaceX first is just proving it can do what it says it can do. They've had success so far, but it's been comparatively much less complex missions that they've flown so far. So they've got to go out and prove that they can actually provide this capability, and then they've got to do it repeatedly over and over again successfully. And they're talking about launching 12 plus times a year. They've got to be able to transition from this sort of mode of demonstration flights that they've done so far to, you know, regular, frequent, again, reliable launches to show that over time they're up to meeting that pace.